As we turn our focus to his word. God, we do thank you for this time together. We thank you for the body of Christ, Lord, for the opportunity to see you work in us and to see you work through us, Lord, in this world. What a great blessing to hear of how your spirit was at work in the lives and through the lives of this team that went to Cuba here this last summer. And Lord, we do pray for the meeting tonight and for plans perhaps for a return trip in 2020. And God, we think about just in general the work of the gospel here in our community and through this church. Lord, the things that Pat mentioned, so many ministries that are starting up this fall. Lord, needs in some of those ministries still for work and for help. And Lord, we pray that you would be this morning at work in our own hearts and lives. And God, that you would show us perhaps how we can be a part of what you want to accomplish through the body of Christ in this world. And so, God, we turn our focus now to your word for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say a word of thanks to Cal Piston for filling in for me last Sunday. We had a nice trip as a family. We went down and saw our older children our two that are graduated down in Little Rock, Arkansas, and then made it just a kind of a long weekend. I suppose it's probably appropriate. I think it's kind of words trickling out. Some of you know one of my sons, Hagen, got engaged here recently, and so that was an exciting time for our family to be with him and his now fiance as well. This morning, as we turn our attention now to the Word of God, two weeks before Cal filled in last week, we started a new series that is just 4 weeks long. We're looking at these areas of ministry that churches, really any church, wants to do well in. But we are calling them essential endeavors here at Siloam Springs Bible Church. These are four areas that are so critical to what God wants to do in and through the body of Christ. We started with the first one was welcoming. And we don't often think about that in terms of the ministry of Jesus. But when you look at how Jesus treated the people who came to listen, even those that the rest of society wanted to have nothing to do with, those tax collectors, those sinners and others. And Jesus welcomed them in, children that were kind of pushed aside in that culture. And yet Jesus, again, welcomes them to come to him. And we talked about the importance of that demonstration of Christ's love to those who are in our community, and that we want to be that kind of a welcoming place for them. But that at the same time Jesus welcomed people, it wasn't just to appear to be nice, right? Jesus wasn't about niceness, but it was to welcome them so that they would follow him. And the next week we talked about that importance of disciple making, right? We don't want to just leave people where they get in, but we want to see people growing in their walk with Christ, growing in Christ's likeness. This morning we're in our third of those four essential endeavors, which is equipping believers to use the gifts that God has given us for the work that he calls us to. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be in that passage this morning as we look at verses 7 through 16, and I'm going to begin by reading those. It says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it is built, so that it builds itself up in love. Pastor John MacArthur shares a story about an important spiritual lesson that he learned. He learned this lesson, he says, while he was at a track meet during his college years. I'll read his words. He says, "I was running in the 4x400-meter relay in the Orange County Invitational. Our strategy was simple. The first runner, a sprinter, would get a big lead as much as possible right out of the starting blocks. My job was to merely run a clean lap without dropping the baton. Our third man and our fourth man could make up whatever ground I might lose. Our first man ran a great leg, and he made a perfect baton pass. I managed to finish my lap in a tight battle for first place. The third man went around the curve, came halfway down the back stretch, stopped, walked off, and sat down in the grass. The race kept on going. We thought that he maybe pulled a hamstring or twisted an ankle. We all ran across the infield expecting to find him writhing on the grass or at least wincing in pain. But he wasn't. He was sitting there passively. So we anxiously asked, 'What happened? Are you hurt?' And he said, 'No, I'm okay. I just didn't feel like running.' My teammates and I responded with the same thing. 'You can't do that. Don't you realize the effort that we've all put into training for this? You're not in this by yourself.'" You know, it's interesting because you read that and I'm like, you just can't even imagine somebody doing that, right? Now, if you've been around the athletics long enough, and I've coached athletics long enough, that there's been a time or two where I've seen, you know, a member or more than one member of a team sort of just quit, right? You know, just kind of quit at trying, don't give much effort. And when that happens, the entire team is really unable to accomplish the goals that maybe they had set out for themselves. In our passage, Paul has just finished in the beginning of chapter 4. Sharing about all of the things that unify the body of Christ, right? All of the similarities, the things that we have in common. But we also are not the same, right? And so he goes on and he talks about how each has been gifted in different ways, but it's still for that same purpose that we've all been called to. The goal is for the body of Christ still to grow in unity, even though we have a lot of diversity, to grow in Christ's likeness, and then ultimately to complete the mission that Jesus has given to us of glorifying God and making disciples. Jesus gives us all different gifts. But as we learn to use those gifts, as we become equipped in using the gifts that God has given to us, then the entire body of Christ benefits. But we're a lot like that team, right? We are working together. We're depending on each other for this one mission. Now, at SSBC, we state that mission as saying we exist to glorify God by loving Him and making disciples. And we desire to connect people in our homes, in our community, in the world to Jesus. But in order to accomplish that mission, it's important that we all become equipped for that cause and for that purpose. For the body of Christ to accomplish its mission, we must become equipped to use the gifts that Jesus has given to us. In the verses that we read, Paul brings up that grace is given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So the first thing we want to talk about is how Jesus has gifted us to be equipped. Jesus has gifted us to be equipped. Verse 7, it says, "But Grace was given. Now, that word there, the beginning of the sentence, right? It's a contrast. And like I said, the prior to this, Paul has been talking about all of the similarities, all of the things that we have in common with one another, right? We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so Paul is trying to tell the church there, you know, whether slave or free, Jew or Greek, right, that we are one now in Christ. And the same is true when we think about our own church, right? Young or old, wherever we're from, whatever our background, whatever our differences may be, we are one in Christ. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But then he goes on and he says, even though we have all of these things in common, we do have some things that are different. God hasn't gifted us, hasn't created all of us the same. Right, it fits with what Paul says in other places, like in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, where he talks about the body of Christ made up of many parts. And yet those parts bring about the same result as the earlier statements about the things we have in common. Right, the things that we have in common bring unity, but so also there's unity in our diversity because we are dependent upon one another. Right, we're not going to accomplish this mission on our own. None of us has all of the gifts necessary for what God is calling his church to be and to do. And so there is a dependency, a humility, and a unity, and a building of our faith in the difference in our gifts. A few weeks back, I was visiting with one of our deacons. I didn't get permission to share his name, but I'll try to do that later. I was sharing with him. We were talking about one of our cars, and he in the course of our conversation in the car I was driving that day, I mentioned that one of our other vehicles, an old van, had a busted radiator, and it was an old van, a lot of miles on it. The amount that the mechanic wanted to fix it was more than I was ready to pay, and even just to buy a brand new radiator was going to cost quite a bit. And he said, "Hey, I think I can help you out." And so he came over to my house on a Friday, and I would say we took the radiator out, but it really wasn't we. I kind of just stood there and handed tools, you know, as he kind of took apart all of the things, because this thing was kind of buried in there, took apart everything, you know, to get that radiator out of there. And then he took it to a scrap place to find a matching one, brought it back, put it in, car's running great. When I was standing there watching him, it confirmed in my mind what I already knew, which is that there was absolutely no way that I could have done that. 0% chance that would have been a successful repair if I was doing it. Now, I can stand up here and I can preach, right? And I coach a volleyball team. I could probably even teach some high school math. But don't ask me to fix a car, right? Don't ask me to stand up here and play guitar. It's not gonna go well. We all have different gifts that God has given to us for the benefit of the body of Christ. Now, Paul also addresses in this passage another aspect of this that's important that we understand. It's a problem that has plagued the church throughout its history. And the problem that he also addresses in this is an overdependence upon certain leaders or certain people that are perceived to have special gifting or maybe a special calling of some kind. Right? Paul talks about the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, those who are maybe in positions of leadership of some kind in the church. And sometimes in our minds we think, well, those are the people, you know, who are specially called and specially gifted in some way. And we've been talking about this, kind of coming back on this over and over again in this last year, that there isn't a special calling. We are all, as believers, called. We are all called, right? The name for the church in Greek is ekklesia, and it means called out ones. We are the ones who've been called out by God to be his church, to be his people. We are all called, and we are all gifted. Every one of us. But grace was given to each one of us. according to the measure of Christ's gift. So what's the purpose of those leaders that Paul mentions? It says in verse 12, to equip the saints. That's all the believers in the church. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. That brings us to the second point. Jesus gifted us to be equipped, and Jesus equips us to serve Him. Jesus equips us to serve Him, right? Through these leaders that have been given, the point is that we become equipped for the work of the ministry. Now, the word there, ministry, is an interesting one. It means to serve. To be a servant. Some of your translations may even say for works of service, because that's the concept here. So it's important that we recognize here that, yes, when we come to church, and it is true for most people that come to be a part of the body of Christ, we come with all kinds of needs, right? Across the board, we come with different needs. Some have broken relationships. Some come with emotional and physical pain and challenges. There's some that are coming that are struggling in a particular area of their life, maybe struggling with a particular sin in their life. There are people who are coming looking for community. Most everyone is coming needing encouragement because let's face it, we live in a world that is very discouraging at times. But if we all come with the mindset that the church is here to meet my need, then we're all going to be unfulfilled. Those needs will go unmet. However, if we recognize that we all need one another to become equipped, to use the gift that God has given or the gifts that God has given to us, then we do what the passage says. We serve one another. We do the work of the ministry. And the body of Christ is built up. Now, that's a general way of saying what Paul then describes in a little more detail. But I think before I get into the details, it's worth noting that when we serve, when we become equipped and use the gifts that God has given us, and when we serve in whatever capacity maybe God offers to us and allows us to do, we not only are serving other people, but we are serving Christ. Right? When that team went to Cuba, they weren't just serving the people there. They were serving Jesus. When I volunteer in the nursery, I'm not just serving those children and maybe their parents. I'm serving Jesus. When we help out on Wednesday nights or in Sunday school, again, we're serving Jesus. When I take a meal to someone who's sick and in need, I'm bringing that meal to Jesus. Whenever you do unto the least of one of these, so also you have done so unto me, is what the scripture says. What a blessing. And what maybe responsibility. Because the truth is, then also the reverse is true. If I am refusing to use my gifts, right? If I'm quitting and sitting down in the grass, I'm not just quitting on other people, but Jesus. So if we use our gifts, if we become equipped and we serve Him, what happens? The body of Christ, it says, is built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So the first sort of detail of what it means that the body be built up is unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God. It's important to see here, when Paul talks about unity, he has something in mind much greater than, you know, we're not arguing about the carpet. Right, it's more than just an absence of conflict. But unity of the faith is this idea of all of us together are growing in our knowledge of the Son of God. That we are together as a body building one another up in the faith. Encouraging one another. Perhaps at times challenging one another. So that we all are growing together. Toward, it says, then mature manhood. Now this is an interesting because it's actually a singular. So it's not talking about the many people, but it's actually talking about the body of Christ as a whole unit, right? The body of Christ is what is going toward maturity. That's what the mature manhood is talking about. It's the whole body together so that the church itself is reaching maturity in its mission of making disciples for Jesus. But that happens when, as we all begin to be equipped and use the gifts that God has given us. Toward, it says, the fullness of Christ, Christ's likeness. And here it's important, I'm going to go back to this, what I said earlier. I am unable to do all of this, and this is all, none of us are able to do all of this by ourselves. Because none of us have all the gifts needed. We are not by ourselves Jesus in this world. We talk about being the hands and feet of Christ. That's not an individual mandate. It is a corporate mandate. We are the body of Christ. All of us together with the varied, many different gifts that God has given us. Now that says something else as well. And maybe you've had someone say this to you. I know I have at different points in time. Or someone will say something along the lines of, you know, I don't need the church to be a Christian. Or I don't really need to go to church to be a follower of Jesus. And I get what, you know, people are saying, right? You know, I can believe, I can be a believer, I can believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to this earth, he lived a perfect life, he became the sacrifice for me on the cross, that through him my sins are forgiven and I have eternal life. That is not required, right, that we are in a local church to be a believer. But if we want to follow Jesus, if we want to be a part of the mission of Jesus, if we want to be involved in what Jesus is doing, then we are in the body of Christ. We have to be a part of a body, a church. That is not a Lone Ranger kind of mission. It just isn't. It's not set up that way. God doesn't set it up that way for us. It requires the cooperation of the believers in the church, working together for his glory and good. So we're gifted by Jesus to be equipped. We are equipped through the body of Christ to serve him. Why is this an essential endeavor? Why is equipping believers so essential? Three things I'm going to move through rather quickly. The first one is for stability. Right? Paul goes on to talk about, so that in verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes. Right? False teaching was a big concern for Paul with the church there in Ephesus. And it is still a huge concern. We live in a day and age where we are perhaps bombarded more by false messages about God and about this world that we live in and about who we are as Christians than at any other time. It is 24/7, right, on phones and media and everywhere else. For the stability of our own faith and for the stability of the faith as it's passed generation to generation, we need, again, the whole church working together, being equipped, serving each other, helping one another, growing to maturity into the fullness of Jesus Christ. For stability, for sanctity. It says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So as we speak the truth in love, as we teach from the word and hear the word spoken, and then as we help one another to live according to the word, we grow toward maturity, each of us individually. And it's interesting because it's not only the person that we're speaking to, right? We also are growing. I don't know if you've experienced this, but I know I have in my life that when I am involved in service for Christ, when I'm using gifts that God has given, and it changes my prayer life, my devotional life. It causes us to step out in faith and to trust God and in new ways. There's so much growth. For my own sanctification, it is necessary that I'm a part of and serving Him using the gifts that He's given me. So for stability, for sanctity, and then finally for productivity. If we are going to accomplish the mission, if we're going to make disciples, glorify God, see the kingdom grow, build the body up toward maturity in Christ, we need everybody's gift. There's no one that is unimportant. We all matter to God. When I finally was convinced that I was supposed to serve God in a pastor-teacher kind of role while I was in college, I did what most people do. I decided, well, I'm going to go get some more training, right? I'm going to go to seminary. And it was a great place. I learned a lot there. But one of the things that I think that school did that was absolutely essential, that was so important, was they required every one of those students to be involved in a local church at least 5 hours a week serving. Whether it was a volunteer, paid, that didn't matter, but at least 5 hours a week, you're supposed to be doing something in the local church serving Jesus. And I say that because we kind of talked about this when we talked about disciple making, right? That this isn't something that happens just as you study books. Right? You don't grow as a disciple just by studying books. You don't become equipped just by hearing the word preached and taught, as important as that is. But by actually taking what we learn and putting it into practice, by using those things, by allowing God to equip us through the work of the ministry as the word is applied in that context. That's how we become equipped servants for Jesus Christ. God has gifted each one of us to serve Him for the building up of the body of Christ for His glory and purpose in the world. Let's pray. God, we do thank You that You have chosen to use us despite our weaknesses, despite our frailty. Lord, that You bring us together in unity with all of our diversity, so that we can accomplish Your will in this world. Lord, we see how that has played out in different areas of ministry within the body of Christ here. And God, we know that it's Your desire to continue that work. Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts to what You want us to be a part of, how You want to use the experiences, the giftedness of each one that is a part of this body of Christ. For Your glory and for Your purpose in our lives. We thank You, Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me as we sing?